Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN, New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. It would be, well, let's put it this way, very, very difficult to have missed all of the massive media coverage of Buena Regional High School wrestler Andrew Johnson over the last week or so. The sophomore wrestler was told right before the match by the referee, well, he was given a choice. If he wanted to compete and wrestle, he would have to cut his hair, or he could just basically forfeit his match. As you've seen from the video, Johnson decided to have his dreadlocks shorn from his head. Now, the reaction from all over has been one of total outrage, especially when it was reported that the referee had been reprimanded just a couple of years ago for using a racial slur in relation to one of his officiating colleagues. And in this case, because Andrew Johnson is African-American, there were all sorts of suggestions of racism. And again, if you saw the video, you see Johnson, who sported dreadlocks, having his head shorn rather unceremoniously right before his match, which, by the way, he went on to win, and that win decidedly helped his team win the wrestling meet. This particular incident has all sorts of layers and angles to it, and to that end, I've asked Matt Stanmeyer of NJ Advanced Media for NJ.com, who's been covering this incident, to come on this morning to sort through all of this and to give us the latest news. Matt, good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Edge.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Now, you know, Matt, as I said, this has all sorts of unusual angles to it, and it's obviously a very delicate, sensitive matter. And I'm curious, you know, the latest I had heard was that the New Jersey State Interscholastic Athletic Association, the governing body of high school sports in the state of New Jersey, they've already sent this case or incident over to the New Jersey Division on Civil Rights. My first question is that something that's unprecedented with high school sports?
Not in New Jersey, because a few years back, about 5 years ago, the New Jersey Athletic Commission implemented a sportsmanship policy that one of the big stipulations was that if there are any racial or bias incidents that take place at high school sporting events, whether on the field, in the stands, with among the coaching staff, whatever it may be, those complaints would be forwarded to the state's Division on Civil Rights, which is housed in the New Jersey Attorney General's office. So that's standard procedure. So in this case, that's exactly what happened. Once it was decided that there could be bias intent in this incident, it was passed along to the Division on Civil Rights, and now they are serving as like the primary investigatory body. So everybody is basically waiting to see what they find and what they determine, and from that point forward, that will dictate how a lot of this unfolds.
Okay, and that's my next question, obviously, Matt, is, you know, what is there a time frame for all this to be resolved? I mean, obviously the wrestling season is underway. What do you think is going to happen? Have they promised a decision at some point soon, or are they going to take their time with this?
I believe they're going to take their time with it. I've spoken to the spokesperson for the Division on Civil Rights, and like all investigations that they undertake, they've been pretty tight-lipped about how this will unfold. They haven't given a timeline. What I've gathered is that they want this to be thorough. They want to make sure that they do their due diligence and allow all parties involved to speak on what actually happened that night of the wrestling match. So I believe they're going to take their time, but it sounds like we will probably be able to expect some sort of decision within a couple weeks.
Now let's talk about the referee, Alan Maloney. First of all, am I correct in surmising that he has not said anything about these charges at all? I mean, he hasn't spoken either personally or through a spokesman like an attorney. Is that correct?
That's correct as far as I know. We've made several overtures to speak to him and to get his voice out there. Like a lot of people, we'd like to hear from him and hear what he has to say about how this situation unfolded, because there's still a lot of gray area. And so we have made several overtures to him to try to get him to speak to us. And to this point, we've been unsuccessful, and I've not seen him, speak to any other media outlets out there.
Okay. And as I mentioned briefly in the opening, and we're talking with Matt Stanmeier of NJ Advanced Media, there was an incident unrelated to actually a wrestling meet or a tournament, but something happened between Maloney and one of his officiating colleagues at some sort of, I don't know, get-together or a party or something, where allegedly he used the N-word, and that caused some people concerned, saying, well, obviously this guy has a problem. He's obviously a racist. Can you add any more about what happened with that and whether that's relevant to this situation?
So in 2016, there was an incident after a youth wrestling tournament that's held every year down in Wildwood, New Jersey. It's a big tournament. And after the tournament, there was a gathering where several officials were at the same place, hanging out at a social gathering. And this was all reported by the Courier Post in South Jersey. This was their original reporting from 2016. And at that time, there was a disagreement. Some words were exchanged, and Maloney allegedly used a racial slur directed at a person of color during that social gathering. From that point, it got physical, according to the Courier Post reporting, and the person of color, slammed Maloney to the ground. So as we've reported on this story, the last high-profile incident where Alan Maloney was in the news, it was him using this racial slur, which was reported on by several different outlets. People can kind of, take from that what they may.
But there was no, was there any punishment or follow-up on this? Just that this happened and that was it two, three years ago?
Yeah, this was in 2016. He was never formally reprimanded by the NJSIA, as far as we know, by the State Athletic Association. There were some hearings there among the officials' chapters, he was reprimanded. But as far as we know, he never missed any matches, or was never formally punished, where the State Athletic Association or any body stepped in and said, you can't officiate for a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And again, this is a fascinating story. It's disturbing, obviously, for a lot of different reasons. And friends, we will take your calls for Matt Stanmeier or myself at 1-877-337-6666. If you have thoughts or observations or suggestions as well, as I said, this incident has generated so much national media attention, and it's going to be curious to see how this is resolved. For example, Matt, I know that the Buena Regional High School Board of Education met a week or so ago, and they basically decided that they are not going to send any of their wrestlers to any wrestling tournaments or have any meets, let their kids go to any meets, compete in any wrestling meets, if Al Maloney is working at any of those. That sounded rather unprecedented, and I also wonder how that's even allowable, if you can pass a rule like that.
The State Athletic Association allows, schools to make decisions like that. And, no one has contested that at that point because of how how contentious the situation was with Al Maloney and Buena.
Yep.
The board passed that resolution last week, and as I said, it doesn't seem like anyone's contesting that. And further, you know, one of the more recent moves in this case has been the officials association or the officials chapter where Alan Maloney works has agreed that they will not assign him to any matches until this investigation process has unfolded. You know, one can assume that this is so that there's, you know, not a spectacle and that it doesn't affect the wrestlers on the mat. So he will not be working anyway until the Division on Civil Rights at least renders its decision here. So we're not expecting to see him, you know, out on the wrestling mat anytime soon.
Yeah, I guess that's to be expected. That obviously the emotions are raw right now. A lot of concern. Let me come back to Maloney because he is at the center of this firestorm, and I just have to say, Matt, it just seems so odd to me that he has not offered any statement, any explanation, any defense. And I think that's what people will like to know. Okay, what's your point of view? People in this country obviously know there's always two sides to a story. What happened? You're the ref. You're an experienced ref. What happened here? You know, I gather there have been colleagues of his who, I gather, have not put their name out there because they're obviously fearful of recrimination. But there are some officials who have sort of come to Maloney's defense and said, look, he was just following the rule book. The rule book says if you have long hair that touches your collar, your shirt collar, or it goes over your earlobe, I mean, you have to put on either some sort of cap or protective gear because it's a safety factor if the hair is too long. And if you don't do that, well, your option is to just not wrestle and forfeit the match. That's how I believe the rule book reads. Is that your sense as well?
That's in the rules, and the rules are set by the National Federation for State High School Associations.
They
come up with the wrestling rules that the state associations follow, and they clearly say that, you know, if the hair in its natural state extends below the earlobe on the sides or touches the top of a normal shirt, it's required to be secured in a legal hair cover. Now, nowadays, the legal hair cover is an actual different piece where it connects to the headgear. And it attaches to the ear guards.
Mm-hmm.
And so we interviewed some coaches who said, this is a relatively new piece of equipment, and you can't necessarily just go to Dick's Sporting Goods and find it there. And plus, it's pretty expensive. Not all wrestlers are using it yet, even though it is required by the National Federation rules. And as far as Alan Maloney goes, you know, we're working on a story now that will be on NJ.com and in the Star Ledger real soon, about Alan Maloney, and we've reached out to, you know, several people down in South Jersey who know him well. And the people that we've spoken to at this point speak really highly of him, and they say that this is a guy who has dedicated his life to wrestling. He's dedicated his life to the sport. He was a high-level wrestler himself at Edgewood High School in South Jersey. He has a son who was a very good wrestler as well at Eastern High School in South Jersey. And is now a high school wrestling coach himself.
Mm-hmm.
And Alan Maloney also, at one time, was in charge of molding the cadet officials. So the younger officials who are training to be wrestling officials, Alan Maloney has worked with those guys to really train them and teach them the rules. So some of the people that we talked to said that's one of the reasons why Alan is really by the book, because it's his job to mold the next generations of wrestling officials who are coming up. So there's a lot of, you know, you may not hear their voices as loudly as this coverage unfolds, but there are a lot of people who are supporting Alan and saying that he did the right thing here, and this was what the rules called for.
Let me take a pause here. We're talking with Matt Stanmeyer of NJ Advanced Media, you know, Star Ledger and NJ.com. We're getting this, as you hear from Matt's reporting, a lot of this is becoming to take form and take shape. And, Matt, let's take a pause here and do some commercials. Dave Uram has the update. And when we come back, we'll take calls at 1-877-337-6666. Stay with me.
Radio.com.
And welcome back to the Sports Edge, everyone. I'm Rick Wolf. My guest this morning is Matt Stanmeier of NJ Advanced Media, the Star Ledger, NJ.com. Matt's been on the show before. He does terrific investigative reporting, particularly in the world of high school sports. And this morning we're talking about this controversial edict handed down by a wrestling official, basically telling a high school wrestler a week or so ago, either, look, you have dreadlocks, you can't wrestle with the hair length, either you put it in a cap, some sort of protective, hair net, or you're going to have to forfeit the match. And the kid, and you've seen the video, the kid looks so shaken, so forlorn, he decided to have the trainer shave off his dreadlocks, and the kid went on to resolve himself, went on to win his match. But it caused a tremendous amount of outrage and concern. And Matt, before I get to the calls in a second, I just have to ask you this. Andrew Johnson, the wrestler for Bueno Regional High School, he had wrestled earlier this year in another match, correct? And there was he wasn't wearing any sort of protective headgear that, right? He wrestled with his dreadlocks.
And what we know at this point is that he wrestled without incident during that tournament. We interviewed the opposing coaches from other teams that were at this tournament, and what they said is that they don't remember really anything of note happening.
Yeah.
And the school district, the Bueno Regional School District, has come out and said that he wrestled without incident during those meets. We were told that he had a hair cover that he did wear. But we're just not sure what type it was, what modifications were made to it. But I guess the key point is that he had wrestled before this season and he had wrestled without incident.
Okay, and I think that's somewhat relevant to this because, apparently he'd done this and before and as you said, without incident. Now, for those who aren't familiar with high school wrestling and the rules and why there's such a concern about the hair length, this is all about safety. And obviously, if the wrestlers are competing and obviously they're grappling with each other and somebody pulls somebody's hair by accident, that can be, considered extraordinarily dangerous and injurious to the kid with the long hair. The same way kids aren't allowed to have earrings. They can't have wear a crucifix or a Star of David around their neck. This is all about safety, and that's what this is all about. And again, this is something that most high school coaches and wrestlers understand and accept. But again, it's the way this went down, the way the incident was portrayed in the media, it sounded as though that this kid was just being persecuted in such a way that he was unaware of the possible consequences of having to have his dreadlocks either put into a cap, into some sort of protective gear, or to be cut off. And that's where I think a lot of people are been really taken with the emotion of this. Anyhow, let's get some calls and reaction about this. 1-877-337-6666. Let's go to Jack Smithlin over in Fairlawn. Jack, you have coached high school wrestling, so you're pretty familiar with the ins and outs of all this, correct?
Rick, I certainly am. And it's funny because when the incident occurred, I called a very dear friend of mine who was a great wrestler in high school and is now a fantastic, one of the best coaches ever in Fairlawn Wrestling, a guy named Jamie Pizekane. And Jamie informed me that, one, and I kind of knew this, that the referee did everything by the book. He really did. My question is, why? When other referees allowed this kid to wrestle, and, in all my years of wrestling and all my years of coaching, and I understand that it's a safety situation, but in all my years of wrestling and coaching, nobody's ever gotten hurt by hair. Nobody's had kids. The wrestlers know that it is a violation to pull somebody's hair, so therefore they stay away from pulling people's hair. And, for this wrestler to have wrestled before, and no one had said anything or done anything, whether it was in a cap or tied back or whatever, I would imagine he proceeded with the same procedure that he used in previous wrestling matches. My question is, the referee did everything right, but for what reason? There's just something very fishy about the whole thing. And, you know, being that the guy was, you know, accused of racial statements years before, and I don't know if that's it. Maybe he was trying to prove a point. Who knows? But it just doesn't seem kosher. It doesn't seem right, you know. And it's a great topic. And, you know, and I remember reading about it. I watched the video. It was very sad to watch this kid have to get his hair cut off. But also when I was coaching, we had a girl wrestler. You know, I had mentioned this to you before, but we had a girl wrestler that she kept her hair straight when she knew that it was going to be a problem. And she was a district champion, went on to win matches at the regional level. I mean, the kid was just, she just recently got into the Fairlawn Hall of Fame. And, you know, it never caused a problem. So why would this referee bring it to attention when, well, didn't he think about what it was going to cause? Or
Jack,
I don't get it.
Jack,
I don't
get it. Let me ask you a question, because you and I were talking about this just recently, and under New Jersey wrestling rules, the referee normally does not get there early to go through the weigh-in and check the kids.
No.
Then he shows up for when the meet actually starts, right?
Right. He does not. For dual meets, he does not. I believe during tournaments, you know, districts, when the state tournament starts, there must be a referee there to, because all the teams weigh in at the same spot.
Yeah.
And at the same time. And the referees have to be there to witness the weigh-ins. But what happens normally is that a referee will not show up for weigh-ins. The two coaches will weigh in and observe and question any questions that they have.
Yeah.
You know, his hair might be too long or whatever. His nails might be. But then the referee will come in, and he will go into both locker rooms separately, inspect, tell the rules, and then move to the next locker room and speak to
well,
the other team.
That's my point. So, I mean, if it's standard procedure where the high school ref doesn't show up early for the inspection and for the weigh-in, then, I mean, if that
right.
happened in this case, then all this could have been done way in advance. There wouldn't be that
exactly.
video of a kid being told, you got a choice here, either cut your hair or don't wrestle.
Right.
But, I mean, that could have been done. And the other thing, too, which I understand, is the opposing coach, you know, could have said early on to the Bueno regional coach saying, this kid's got dreadlocks. I think that's a violation of the rules. So a lot
but
of this,
also, go ahead, keep going.
I was saying, that's a violation of the rules. And you know, he has to understand we have rules here. They may not be enforced that often, but the fact that the other coach didn't say anything, apparently, maybe that's you know, he's at fault too.
Well, yes, and but also there's, just like every other sport, there's strategies. You know, one of the things that happens, and I had mentioned this to you, is that, you know, coaches have strategies involved when, you know, they look at the other team and they match up their wrestlers to see who's going to win and who has a possibility of losing.
Yep.
And everything, and they control the meet. So a coach with strategy might have waited to the last second in order to bring this to the referees. You know, it all depends. Or, you know, the only two people that could have brought this to anybody's attention was the other coach,
yep.
who didn't want that kid wrestling his kid,
yeah.
or the referee.
Yeah.
You know, nobody else is going to say anything. So,
Jack,
it's a tough situation.
It's very tough, and I thank you for all your insight and your research on this. It's greatly appreciated.
Well, Jamie Pizikane helped a lot because the rules do change over the years. And, you know, he talked about a certain kind of net for your hair now. It's not others are not approved, and there's only one type that's approved.
Right.
So it's a tough situation here. But
Jack,
great topic, Rick.
Thank you, Jack.
Always.
We'll talk soon. Take care.
You're more than welcome, Rick.
Thanks, Jack. That's Jack Smithlin, of course. And, Matt, you know, let's go back to the situation. You know, you know, if we go down that pathway that it's customary or traditional for the high school refs not to show up for a dual meet until the meet sort of gets ready to go, you wonder, like, well, how come somebody didn't say something early on here? Or I think you mentioned that the Johnson kid had wrestled in the tournament earlier this year, so clearly other referees had seen his hair length.
Right, Rick, and that's one of the really crucial points here that we're all still trying to figure out and that we don't have clarity on, because the Johnson family, the parents, issued a statement through their attorney that they have, Dominic Speziale of Philadelphia, And they alleged that Maloney was late to the weigh-ins, and he missed the weigh-ins altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And they said when he did evaluate Andrew pre-match, he failed to raise any issues with the length of his hair or the need to wear a hair covering. So the first time that Andrew Johnson was told that his hair covering was not in compliance was when he was on the match right before his match took place.
Yeah.
So that's something we're really trying to figure out. You know, was Alan Maloney late to the match? Did he miss weigh-ins? Did he miss that crucial period where you're supposed to raise these potential issues with the wrestlers? Because that's the time when they check the skin, they check the nails, the hair, the facial hair. And typically, if there's a problem, it's raised then well in advance of the match.
Yeah, I think that's a major issue on this. 1-877-337-6666. Let's go to E. Frank out in Astoria. Good morning. You're on the fan.
Yes, good morning. I have to weigh in on this matter because actually I come from a school league called the I did not play any specific sports back in the middle 80s.
Uh-huh.
The Catholic High School Athletic League has similar rules, and they're also similar for the Public School Athletic League of the Department of Education of the City of New York.
Right.
That you do have to be groomed in a certain way. You do have to be your nails cut and so on. But the issue here, it seems to be that there was lack of timing. This is my opinion only because you've covered everything as best as you can. But I'm looking at it from another point of view. I'm looking at it from the point of view of situations that involve the school itself, where they have their rules and regulations. And with this wrestler, this young man is competing in, the situation did not allow for, I mean, it could be illegal to cut the wrestler's hair in that fashion because the rules are very specific, but they have not stated as of yet the reason why they did it like that or the reason why they are not explaining to the public at any level or at this point why they did that.
Well, it's all, and I hear what you're saying, and I think you're making a very valid observation. This all comes under the realm of safety, that the reason, again, that they look at a kid's fingernails, they look at his facial hair, they look at if he's wearing any jewelry, this kind of stuff, and the hair length, it's all under the cap of safety. As Jack Smithlin just pointed out, you know, for many, many years, kids have wrestled, even female wrestlers, with long hair, and nobody's really heard of any real concern or safety issues. But the fact of the matter is that's still there for a reason. And, you know, if for example, as Jack pointed out, if you pull a kid's hair in a wrestling match, you're going to get penalized for doing that. So it's not in an opponent's best interest to do that. But the fact is, those are the rules. All the coaches know the rules. All the referees know the rules. The question seems to be one of, okay, if those are the rules, why did everybody wait so long until right before the kid came out on the mat to wrestle that it was suddenly enforced? And that's where we just, as Matt Stammeyer has been pointing out, we don't have an answer yet, and we're waiting for that answer to come forth. Anyway, E. Frank, thank you for the call. And Matt, let's talk about this. I mean, you know, I'm sure if I'm a wrestling coach in New Jersey, if I'm at or any state, I got to be, you know, or a referee, I'm wondering, well, what do we do now? What is the rule? What do we do? How do we progress with this so we don't repeat this kind of situation again?
Well, I think, you know, and we've already spoken to a number of coaches around the state and officials for that matter, and mm-hmm. this is definitely on the forefront of their minds now. We spoke to an official at a tournament last weekend who said that he went out and bought a legal hair covering and now carries that with him to matches just in case something like this ever arises again this season. You know, forget relying on the team or the coaches to have one. That official is going to have one that's legal. So this is something that people are really talking about now and have their eyes on. And again, there's still a lot of questions about what went on at that match on December 19th. There have been some coaches that question how long Andrew Johnson's hair was to begin with. Did it extend below the earlobes? Did it extend to the top of the shirt? Did it even need to be cut? So you're hearing a lot of speculation on that end. And again, we still haven't heard from Alan Maloney. We don't know his thought process or what was going through his mind when he made that decision. But just to reiterate, what we do know from speaking to people about Allen is that he's a stickler for the rules. He follows the rules to a T, and that's something you can expect from him pretty much every match.
All right, we're talking with Matt Stanmeier of New Jersey Advanced Media. We're going to take a pause here, do an update. When I return, we'll continue our conversation and try to, you know, sort through all the various issues here and try to get some sense of resolution. 1-877-337-6666. And back here on the Sports Edge, hey, don't forget at 9 o'clock this morning, it is Football Sunday with Mark Melusis and Dave Deal. Of course, this is the last football weekend for Jets and Giants fans. I'm sure that Dave and Mark will have lots of thoughts and insights what happens next to the Jets and to the Giants over the course of the offseason. I'm talking right now, and by the way, I want to remind you, of course, check out my website at AskCoachWolf.com. And you can follow me at Twitter at AskCoachWolf as well. My guest this morning is Matt Stanmeier of NJ Advanced Media, and we're talking about this high school wrestler who was basically told either he could cut off his dreadlocks right before a match or he would have to forfeit, and it's caused a lot of consternation and a lot of people, a lot of different opinions about this. And we're taking your calls at 1-877-337-6666. Matt, a couple of questions for you. I just want to make sure we cover everything here. First of all, if you can sort of describe this new type of hair, protective hair gear, I gather it's sort of like a sock, and that I guess only Under Armour makes it. Can you describe it in more detail what it's like?
You know, I have not even seen one myself, but the way that it's been explained to me is that it's a piece that attaches into the ear guards.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me. So that's kind of the key component here, whereas in the past, before that stipulation was required that it had attached to the ear guards, some wrestlers would just wear do-rags or just Nike hair caps that kind of looked like, you know, swim caps almost.
Right.
There are a lot of different things that they would use in the past before this new rule went into effect that actually required it to connect into the ear guards. And the reason for that is that it's much tighter to the skin, and it's harder to, like, grab a part of that if you're the opposing wrestler. And the whole point of the rule is just to make it more form-fitting to the head. We do have a video on NJ.com in one of our posts about this this situation where we talked to a wrestler at a match that had one. And we actually took video of that. So if you go on NJ.com and look around, you'll be able to find that video where it shows exactly what this new legal hair covering looks like.
Now, we talked about the fact that the referee, Alan Maloney, has not said anything publicly, has not been forthcoming either to get his opinion across or to defend himself. You've done an excellent job at painting a more substantial picture of this gentleman and his background in the world of wrestling. But let me ask you this, Matt. Is there some sort of officials association for you know, wrestling officials in the state of New Jersey? Is some sort of body like that perhaps should come forth and say something, or that does not exist?
There are several, actually. And the chapter that Alan Maloney belongs to, because it's kind of divided into different chapters across the state because New Jersey is so big and there's so many people here. The South Jersey chapter that Alan Maloney belongs to, is also, as far as I've seen, no one from that chapter has spoken publicly. Some of that might be due to the fact that their numbers and contact information was readily accessible online. And so that their contact information was posted by various organizations out there. And I was told that some of these officials in this referee chapter were, like, deluged with phone calls to the point where some of them had to even turn off their phones or, like, change their number because it got so out of control. That may be part of the reason why we have not heard from them, but it is really surprising that no one from the officials chapter has come out with a statement or at least said how they're handling this internally, because that's a big question that we have. And in the past, when referees have been at the center of a scandal, this happened just last year with referees during football for Monroe High School who
protested the kids who were kneeling during the national anthem, and that official's chapter got right out ahead of this. In this case, a lot of people have gone silent, and it's made the reporting a lot more difficult, and that's why there's so many questions that remain at this point.
Now, Matt, you also mentioned to me this week that there was another wrestler, I believe from Freehold Township, kid was also African-American, had dreadlocks. This happened last year, and he was also told either to cut his hair or forfeit a match. He decided not to cut his hair, and he did, in fact, forfeit the match. Is that correct? Am I getting that? Is that exactly what happened in that case as well?
Yeah, as far as we know, we don't know the specifics exactly of what happened in that situation. It's something that we've been trying to track down. We've reached out to that wrestler who has since graduated to try to get his the story and his perspective on what happened. But we did speak to a coach who painted that picture for us.
Yep.
So this is something that does happen. And even earlier this year, it was not an African-American wrestler. But another wrestler in New Jersey was asked to cut their hair on the side of the mat.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that does happen, and you know wrestlers are a special breed. You know, it's a very different sport. It's a grueling sport. There's a lot of different components there that you don't find in other sports. And cutting hair on the mat does happen from time to time, we're told. But this situation with Andrew Johnson having dreadlocks, It really struck a chord with a lot of people after they saw the image of what that looked like.
No, I understand, and I'm trying to be very sensitive and delicate about this, but again, as we've established throughout this hour, the issue of hair length is something that's been around in wrestling circles for a good long time. I am sure every kid who goes out for a wrestling team in high school must at some point realize, I got long hair, or I have a ponytail, or I have dreadlocks, whatever it might be, that may become an issue as they get into actual competition. So I have to assume at some point during the course of the last few months, Andrew Johnson, somebody somewhere had to say to this kid, you may have to put that into some sort of protective headgear, or you may have to get a cut or something. I just don't know. I also don't. I do not know whether or not dreadlocks are considered to be part of a cultural situation with African Americans as such that they have to, there has to be some sort of reasonable accommodation for that as well. I just don't know, but it sure would be helpful if either one of the wrestling associations spoke up, or if B, Andrew Maloney, gave his side of the picture as well. I guess we'll have to wait for the civil rights people in Jersey to make a determination here of what's the next step. Is that your sense as well?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, this unfolded right before the holidays. And, there have been a lot of people out there. There have probably been a lot of people traveling. So I think it's impacted the news cycle with this story a little bit.
Sure.
Where maybe if this happened at a different time, things would have unfolded a little bit quicker. There's a lot of reporting that we really are eager to unveil on NJ.com and in the Star Ledger in the coming week. Where we're going to be diving into some of those issues that you're talking about, particularly the cultural significance of dreadlocks is something that we want to expand upon, and also Alan Maloney, who this guy is, and some of his past behaviors and how those may have shaped his decisions during that match on December 19th. So there's a lot here that we are looking to dive into. And again, as you mentioned, the Division on Civil Rights, they're the main investigatory body at this point. So they're going to be probably dictating, what happens to Alan Maloney and his future as a referee. And as I said, this is a guy who's dedicated his life. He was a high-level wrestler himself. He's been a coach. He's been an official for many years. And this wrestling, by all accounts, has been his life.
Matt Stanmeyer of NJ Advanced Media, Star Ledger and NJ.com. Matt, I can't thank you enough for coming on this morning and providing some real insight and background on this rather perplexing situation with this young wrestler at a Bueno Regional High School. Matt, thank you, and obviously we'll be tracking to see what happens with the Division of Civil Rights and what they come up with in terms of a determination.
Anytime, Rick. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Happy
thank you.
Holiday.
Thank you, Matt, and Merry, happy holidays, obviously happy new year. Matt Stanmeier of NJ Advanced Media. Okay, let me take a pause. Stay with me. I'll be back with more after this. Well, these are my questions regarding this wrestling situation with this kid from Buena Regional High School. First of all, we have to wait to see what the Division of Civil Rights in New Jersey has to say. What are their findings in this matter? And hopefully they'll get their answers very soon. Number two, it'd be very, very helpful if Alan Maloney, the official who ran the match, to get his side of the story. He has not spoken publicly yet, and we'd like to know what he has to say, particularly because he has a long history in the sport of wrestling. And three, whether all this will lead to new rules regarding the sport of high school wrestling, whether that's in the offing as well. Okay, we'll have to see what happens in the weeks to come. Anyway, my thanks this morning to Dave Ettinger. Please stay tuned for Football Sunday. Have a happy and safe new year. I'll see you next Sunday right here on The Sports Edge.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.